CBS News, I'm Pam Coulter. There's a mixed verdict in the trial of the first U.S. church official to be accused of covering up allegations of sex abuse by priests. KYW-TV reporter Walt Hunter in Philadelphia.
Monsignor William Lynn, the first cleric in America ever to be charged with covering up abuse by priests. He is guilty on one charge of endangering the welfare of a child. That connected to Father Edward Avery. Two other counts, however, of endangering the welfare of a child and conspiracy against the Monsignor, not guilty.
David Clossy is with SNAP, the survivors network of those abused by priests.
This is an enormous victory for children, victims, Catholics, parents, and law enforcement officials.
The jury deadlocked on charges against another priest who was accused of sexually assaulting a teenager in 1996. This is the second day of deliberations for the jury in the Jerry Sandusky child sex abuse trial. CBS's Barry Bagnato in Bellefonte, Pennsylvania.
Judge John Cleland has been running a tight ship, one reason the testimony at this trial took a week and a half instead of the predicted 3 weeks. He's maintaining that stance during deliberations, urging jurors to work into the night, during and after their dinners. And he is indicating he'll be hesitant to grant another juror request to review testimony. It took a couple of hours for transcripts to be read in court to the jury today.
Sandusky's charged with 48 counts involving the alleged abuse of 10 boys over 15 years. President Obama got a warmer reception from Hispanic leaders in Florida than did his Republican challenger a day ago. CBS's Peter King joins us live from Lake Buena Vista.
Well, Pam, Mitt Romney criticized the president for a stopgap solution and for not acting sooner on immigration. Mr. Obama here today says Congress should have done the job.
My door's been open for 3.5 years. They know where to find me.
He mentioned Kennedy, McCain, and Bush in his call for bipartisanship.
I've said time and again, send me the DREAM Act. I will sign it right away. And I'm still waiting to work with anyone from either party who is committed to real reform.
Mr. Obama says temporary relief was the right thing to do. Pam?
Despite a multi-year effort, the Pentagon has not been able to reduce the number of soldier suicides. In fact, Defense Secretary Leon Panetta concedes the problem is getting worse.
Despite the increased efforts, the increased attention, the trends continue to move in a troubling and tragic direction.
He told mental health professionals commanders must make clear seeking help is a sign of strength. Hundreds of thousands of Chevrolet compact cars are being recalled.
The engine shield on the Cruze can trap oil that leaks during changes. That can lead to a fire. There have been about 30 reported, but no injuries. The recall affects virtually all Cruzes made in the U.S., but those built and sold in other countries are okay. A few of the Cruzes will also have some welds inspected.
Jeff Gilbert, this is CBS News.
Today, my journey to help save people money on car insurance has got me reflecting a bit. You know, about all the places I've been so far, all the nice folks I've met, and all the money GEICO saved them. I mean, if I had a dollar for every time I saved somebody money on car insurance, I could retire tomorrow. But then, I'd have to stop my journey across America. I'd never get to visit Collinsville, Illinois, and see the world's largest bottle of ketchup. Well, there's no way I'm going to miss that.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com to see how much you could save. GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Every day, businesses lose critical customer and financial data as a result of cybercrimes, human errors, and natural disasters. Barracuda Networks, the world leader in content security, application delivery, and data protection with more than 130,000 customers worldwide, can help. Barracuda Backup Service combines local backup and deduplication for rapid restores with data storage in the cloud for fail-safe disaster recovery. Protect your critical data. Visit barracuda.com/backup to try Barracuda Backup Service free for 30 days. That's barracuda.com/backup.
Mirror, mirror on the wall, residents of which city want to be the fairest of them all?
You might think the image, entertainment, and ego meccas like New York, L.A., and D.C. would lead a list of those concerned about appearance, but think again. The nation's capital of vanity is Tampa, followed by Plano, Texas, Atlanta, and Dallas, places with the largest concentrations of plastic surgeons, cosmetic dentists, and tanning salons. According to Men's Health magazine, Des Moines, Lincoln, and Sioux Falls are the least vain. L.A. is number 60, far below New York and Washington when it comes to the vanity variable. Gary Nunn, CBS News.
The search is on for a man who walked into a New York art gallery and made off with a Salvador Dali painting worth about $150,000. Police say the man posed as a customer, put the watercolor and ink painting into a bag, and then fled. The painting was part of the gallery's inaugural exhibition. Pam Coulter, CBS News.
Oh, Changing your oil regularly will help reduce sludge and keep your vehicle running at peak performance. Right now at O'Reilly Auto Parts, pick up Chevron conventional motor oil for $2.99 a quart. Protect your engine from excess heat, dirt, and contaminants with Chevron conventional motor oil, $2.99 a quart at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The Home Depot now has 15% off select special order doors and windows from top brands like Masonite, Feather River, and Geldwin. That'll add more than a little curb appeal to any home, but not a lot to a budget. We're opening the doors and windows to an upgrade thanks to 15% off select special order doors and windows. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through June 27th, U.S. only. See store for details.
Bill Benneker, Talkers Chief, Friends and Neighbors. Number is Friday, TGIF. It's Friday, and it's Friday.
Now, here's Friday. Bill Benneker.
And the weekend's here. Have another beer. All right. We're in good shape. Yes. Okay, let's get right down to business. We got Karen Vealey's in here. We're going to do CalQuestNews.com here in just a minute. But here, I got to tell you this first. You have the Heat one. You know, that's fine. The Miami Heat one, and then you have LeBron James. He won also. But before the game. First off, can we all agree that LeBron James has the largest ego in the entire world? I mean, he's almost the size of the planet Earth itself. It's like amazing to me. All right, so then. Do we need headlines like they had before the last game that says, a crown for King James? I think we don't.
California is number one at a lot of things. Surfing, wine. We're the state with the most millionaires, the most nonconformists, the most millionaire nonconformists. That's why Farmers, the number one insurance group in California, is proud to have been born right here. Our 4,200 agents statewide have the experience to help you tailor a plan for the unexpected.
You can't go wrong with a guy named Wright, so give Farmers agent Mike Wright a call at 541-3942.
Number one ranking based on market share of property and casualty insurers in California.
Country Oaks Care Center, caring for the loved ones that you care about. Country Oaks, owned and operated by John and Sharon Henning. They're friends of mine, really nice friends, and that niceness shows at their 57-bed skilled nursing facility at 830 East Chapel in Santa Maria. Country Oaks specializes in short-term rehabilitation and long-term care. Country Oaks accepts Medicare, Medi-Cal, HMOs, and private insurance, and will do the paperwork for you. They offer physical, occupational, speech, enteral, and IV therapies, including a fully equipped therapy room. At Country Oaks Care Center, your loved ones will find a warm and caring staff and a home-like atmosphere. All activities are geared to individual needs and desires, as well as nutritious meals and that extra ounce of caring and a cup of slow-roasted coffee. From Rotary to their annual float participation in the Santa Maria Elks Rodeo Parade, the Hennings are involved in their community. At 830 East Chapel in Santa Maria, Country Oaks Care Center, caring for the loved ones that you care about.
We have Bill Benneker talking to Friends and Neighbors Network, and you're with Karen Vealey, because this is CalcoastNews.com on 1340 KYNS, your news station, and I thank Karen for joining me today. Hi, Karen. Good to see you.
Hi.
I am glad you're here. There are lots of things that have been going on. You know, this was, let me do this thing right here. That's not the one thing I want to look at. Wait a second. Wait, I have it right here. It's right there. Let's start with this, because just it's kind of fun in its own way. Perhaps not. You have eateries you don't want to work for, so you listed some eateries. Let me tell you some eateries here. This is because there's low wage. They have no sick time off, so people come to work sick is basically what it comes down to. So we had, where's my list here? Some of the people on the list were, and I wasn't sure why you showed this picture, but now I understand because I looked up the list. Burger King, Hooters, Baskin Robbins, Chuck E. Cheese, KFC, McDonald's, Quiznos, Subway, Taco Bell, TGI Fridays, Wendy's, and famed New York eatery Ruth Chris's Steakhouse and Olive Garden is in the list, too. So here's the weird part. I think people that go in, there are people that are professional waitresses, and I don't know if they do something different for them or not. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if they give them some kind of a health plan or something.
No.
They don't. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how long you've been there. Doesn't matter if you say, I've been here 20 years, they won't help you out.
Waitresses usually, and I don't know what they make now. I waitressed years ago, and it was $2 an hour, and you kept your tips.
Right.
And way below minimum wage, usually, and then you have to claim your tips.
The federales stepped in. Here was the choice. The choice was either making waitresses and waitresses claim their tips. This is a true story back then. This was during the Reagan administration, I believe. It was a choice of either letting them keep their tips and everything, and eliminating the three martini lunch as a tax deduction. And at that time, of course, the Republicans were in there. They were going to eliminate the three-martini lunch. They lived by the three-martini lunch. And I'll be honest with you, I wasn't a Republican or anything, but I lived by the three-martini lunch when I was a salesman. So they said, okay, we got to clamp down on somebody, so we're going to go after the waiters and waitresses and say, okay, you have to claim a certain amount of money. Anyhow, so this is interesting, though. I mean, I thought it was an interesting story because it doesn't have to do with the restaurant per se, but it has to do with the fact of, you know, are you eating food when somebody has a cold? Of course, I have to tell you the truth. We talk into these microphones right in front of our faces, and I know for a fact that many, many, many people come to work in the broadcasting business when they're sick, just to let you know. So you might want to
move back. You might want to
be off mic a little bit there, just so you know. All right, you have other important things to talk about, then we'll get some more stuff on the website.
And we also, the sanitation district, they did come down with the fines on that. And that happened, it was a 1.38. And the primary thing, and this is interesting, because this was argued heavily, that this is the best way to do it. Instead of using traditional methods to look at how the sanitation spill happened, John Walls had the Walls group decide, we're going to get eyewitness testimony of people that saw it squirting out of manholes and how high it was, and that's how we're going to find out how many gallons went.
Here's the problem right here, and I mentioned this on the air. This is the absurd part of this whole thing. It doesn't really matter how many gallons of sewage went or didn't go. Now you're going to find an agency that, because they had mechanical, electrical, electromechanical problems, had a sewage spill to begin with. Now you're going to say, but we need to take some of the taxpayers' money. We need to take the ratepayers' money and pay for this.
That's not what they're saying.
Well, who's
they're
not saying that? I'm saying that.
You're saying that. The employees that work there said it. That's not what happened. The state is saying that's not what happened. That's what John Wallace is saying happened.
Oh, the valve or whatever the thing was.
Well, what has happened is the sanitation district had about 20-some million in reserves. Over the last 10 years, I think it's down to just a couple million, with Wallace Group making between 50 and 80,000, and there's now a ton of money going into legal costs. The sanitation district could have been really revamped, but repeatedly they have done engineering projects that he doesn't do, he's the administrator, and then he gives the projects to his engineering firm. So years and years ago, probably 8 years ago, they went, I've got the exact amount in one of my stories, they went out and they said, hey, this wiring is antiquated. If it gets wet, there's going to be a breakdown. Walls Group was paid, I can't remember, $15,000, $20,000 at the time to look at it.
To fix
it
or
look at it?
He ordered
it to be, no, he was the engineer and just to say it needed to be done. 2 years later, I think he made $30,000 looking at it. His group has looked at it repeatedly. It's been on a list of things that need to be done, and it never gets fixed.
I'll look at it if they want.
And so what is the allegations were is that this is mismanagement. The reports do not say this was a rain event. This is mismanagement, and they're claiming quite a bit of stuff wrong with the way it's handled. Now, this stuff has been coming out for 2 years, And the board continues to let Walsh, everything he does, they just take a nod and a smile and say, yes, sir.
Didn't they just put a new manager in?
Well, they had to. The other one was on stress leave after the state found him fraudulent in his management of the company.
Right, right.
And but the thing was, I have emails where he tells Walsh, this isn't illegal. You know, I'm not going to sign this because you're asking me to do something illegal type, you know. They're arguing over who's going to sign reports because they know they're illegally done.
Well, how does the state feel and other agencies feel this spill occurred?
They feel from poor management and not doing things correctly that led to the spill occurring during a rain event. This isn't even, they're supposed to be ready for a 100-year rain. This was not a 100-year rain. This was a big rainstorm, but it was not the major rain. They are required. They didn't do their reporting on time. The first day when this happened, I called and I was told by John Walsh there was 100,000 gallons spilled. When he finally made his first report to the state, I think Appleton, who was the old manager, said, you know, report this at 800 and some gallons. Shortly after that, Walsh Group decided, no, it was only 300 and some thousand gallons. Now, the problem was the graph of sewage going into the plant was working. It showed about 3 million gallons. I have the graph. I had a copy of it. That's why I was reporting 3 million gallons. Some of it was flowing out of there and was actually flowing into the plant area, which part of it was working. So that part that actually flowed into there was, I think, 1.7 or something. So you ended up with 1.4 million gallons not going in. And there are fines for this, but they're usually, I mean, I've seen things that should be 7 million that are, you know, $70,000 because the plants are run correctly.
Well, the other thing, too, that came out was, and I think you're the one that came out with it, you said the other thing that was part of the problem was this: there was the contentious attitude of the sanitation district with the water quality control people, and that's part of the problem. They came to an impasse over how much they should pay as a fine.
Yeah.
And so, therefore, and you know how the regional water control people are, they said, oh, fine, we're going to thump you. And the only thing I still find wrong with it, though, is I'm going to say this. I find it totally ridiculous when one tax-supported entity, you know, fines another tax-supported entity because we're the people that are paying for it.
Well, you know, I think I don't know if the people – you have a board that continues to let this happen. You have a person from Royal Grande, Mayor Ferrara, Tony Ferrara. You have Bill Nichols from Grover Beach City Councilman. And currently you have Matt Guerra from Oceano. Now, he's kind of new, and he is fighting back with Walsh a little bit more than the others. The other two vote anything Walsh wants, they just smile and say yes.
So you're saying the fine is effective because what it might do now is turn their hand and have people say, we can't have these people on the board and say yes to all this stuff.
And yes, and there's another issue here. The State Water Board cannot take criminal charges. They don't do criminal. All they can do is fine for the water board. But you know what they generally do when they have found something that they find mismanagement and they find the type of problems they did here? They very often then either go to the DA in a county, unless it's small like ours, or the attorney general. And they ask them, after their investigation, to press charges. Same thing happened. Remember the real estate agency, the DRE and the Department of Real Estate, Department of Corporations, went after both Guth and Yaguda from Estate Financial and several other agencies here in town. Then it becomes, after they're done, then they take it to federal agents for investigation. I have been told it's highly likely that they are going to take this to the Attorney General for for an investigation and possible prosecution.
Wow.
So this isn't even close to being over at this point. The other thing that Walsh was claiming, well, no one in Oceano sued us. You know, all that sewage flowed into their homes, and not one person in Oceano. Well, that was because everyone was claiming it was a water event. They were not saying it was mismanagement of the sewer plant. So it's but that is one of his claims to everything's okay because nobody in the public that really suffered filed a lawsuit against me.
Mm, that works. This was the kind of thinking Jerry Sandusky had, and one of his victims said, he said he assumed that no one would ever say anything. You know, he just assumed that no one would ever say anything. Well, that's you can assume that all day long, but it doesn't work. All right, let's leave sewage behind and and talk about other things that are going on. What else is going on, kid?
Well, let's talk about the man that claims to be a vet. The issue with homeless services, I've talked to several attorneys. I've talked to members from different government or public entities that do lawsuits for constitutional malfeasance. They all say this is a big issue. They contend that what they're doing at the homeless center with their rules is not legal. So, but it I read medals and read service. I do not know if that is true, and I'm trying to look into it, and I think it's likely I'll have to put a correction in that he didn't have the medals.
Okay, at this point, and I shouldn't say this out loud, at this point, the investigation I've done on it on the Internet, and I've spent a lot of time on the Internet, does not show him having received these medals. And here's the thing that's a little bit striking about that, that I don't know if you're aware of this. This is now before one of the courts. It's a state Supreme Court, some court, some is before the ACLU says, right now it's a felony. It's it's in abeyance right now because it was a felony. Now, the ACLU took it to court. They got a stay on it. And they say that saying you have medals when you don't is freedom of speech, which, of course, every veteran just cringes at, you know, when they hear that, because it seems just ludicrous. But it's being fought in the courts. But here's the point of this whole thing. My question that I had with Randall Reed wasn't just does he have these medals. He said when he sat here, he said, I joined in 1980 and I served 8 years. The Panama incursion was until 1989.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's kind of like, would you go in by yourself? I mean, are you a tourist?
Yeah, I am pretty sure he is not telling the truth. And I talked to someone that works with homeless vets down in Santa Barbara, and they said it's pretty common for these people to like the homeless are. To lie about this kind of thing because they have so low self-esteem. And he actually, and he's a vet, he thought it was sad that they're doing it. But it is wrong. And
okay,
for those that actually won the medals, it's not fair.
Okay, and I serve with a man who, and we were the last two survivors in an operation where he got the Navy Cross. And the thing that's interesting here is, but let's separate these two things, because the other issue is the issue of how the homeless are being treated by the shelter, the day center. And so, you know, this issue with him right now he has a bicycle parked on Prado Road after 4 o'clock in the afternoon when they've decided they're going to put a curfew on Prado Road and say you can't park a bike there or else you can't use homeless services. Which is like I have said this all along. I want to understand what their thinking is, but I don't. All they ever do is they say, well, I read this stuff, and they go, well, we have to have rules. We have to have rules. Sure, you have to have rules, but you can't have rules that are like you said, against the Constitution. You can't take away people's civil rights.
And Randall Reed was an antidote. And, again, I will probably have to put a correction up about that. But he was an antidote to give a face to the story, which is something you do in journalism, that the story – I have seen the citations. I have seen numerous citations. I have seen the rule. This is happening. So the issue is occurring. And currently the city is facing one lawsuit. I've talked to a nationwide constitution. They do lawsuits for groups like this. They have told me they're looking into this, and they are there's a very good chance that they will be putting a lawsuit against the city and the Prado Day Center. So this is an issue. But at the same time that this issue is going out, there are things on topics. There have been numerous blog posts on different military blogs. And I did have one checked out. It's actually coming from a county computer. There's also been several emails. And those are saying, for example, that I paid Randall Reed to work with me to falsify the story.
I've seen this email, by the way.
Yeah, and then there's also emails from Adam Hill that claim that I have done even worse than that. And I have seen several of these emails claiming that I get paid by people to write stories, a variety of different things. But if he is using his county computer to do libel on different sites and sitting around while he's being paid to work for the city. And I don't know if it's his computer, but someone has told me, and some of the sites that these have been blogged in do not give the posters. If there's something liable, they allow the posters going to have to deal with the problems coming from it. And, again, I did have one person come back with it appears to be a county email that is making all these allegations about Cal Coast News. Primarily, I pay sources in these stories and just different things trying to ruin the story, which is going to be very interesting if that does come down to being someone from the county. And at the same time, they're under fire for helping develop a program that's unconstitutional. It's going to be a very interesting few months as more comes out.
Yes, it will, for sure. And so as at this point, so if you've seen, if you've come upon one of these emails, someone has sent you one, so we're going to say that this right now that Karen Vealey flatly denies these allegations.
Oh, yes.
Okay, fine.
Well, one of the things was I get so many donations every time I run a story, and I have an agreement to do a 40-60 split with my sources, and I give them, I don't know who gets what in this thing. But I found that ludicrous.
There's something going on also that I want to ask. You haven't done a story on it, but I'm saying, well, maybe we should do a story on this because there was something that struck me as so weird. You know, they're going to do the women's jail expansion.
Yeah.
And they're going to spend $1.4 million on engineering and architectural and some other kind of consultants. I didn't have time this morning. I wish I had. I was really busy this morning. I promise next week I'll call an architect who I have a friend who's an architect, and I will say, excuse me, if I ask you to build an extension of this jail, an expansion of this jail, could you do the engineering? Can you do the architectural stuff without a consultant involved? I would think that they could. That's what they go to school for. That's why they're architects. They design buildings.
There are some strange rules in our area, though, regarding development. And yesterday, I was at a speech given by the Pacific Legal Foundation. And during this speech, they actually talked about coming into town and doing several lawsuits. You know, and it's weird. For example, they talked about if this new ordinance for the city on the global warming or climate control, that if they do pass it, that they will likely come in, you know, that's one thing they'd come into town and sue over after it's passed on behalf of someone that is having problems with it. They named several things in the city that of SLO that they considered not to be correctly done legally.
Okay, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. We'll come back with Karen Vealey at CalcoastNews.com and Bill Benica right after these words. Let me clear my throat. Don't let someone throw you a curveball when choosing who to see for hearing help. There are plenty of dispensers and strange devices out there. Dr. Karen Scott, Doctor of Audiology, has the years of experience, education, and can help you with the best decisions for you, your children, grandpa and grandma, and all those betwixt and between. With Dr. Karen's lineup of professionals, your experience with them will be a bases loaded, out-of-the-park home run. Dr. Karen Scott, the LA Dodgers, and KYNS. What a fantastic lineup. Dr. Karen Scott's office is in the 3-story glass Walther building next to the DMV on South Higuera. Come in soon.
Carl Benz patented the first automobile over 125 years ago. 5 years ago, in 2006, Star Automotive opened to provide dealership-level independent Mercedes-Benz services to San Luis Obispo County. Hi, this is Brian from Star Automotive. We would like to thank over 1,000 Mercedes owners who have trusted us with their vehicles. If you haven't yet, we would love the opportunity to serve you. You can learn more about us at starautomotive.com or give us a call at 543-STAR. We'll keep the smile on your face and the star on your car.
There's been a rumor going around my school lately about a new draft, so I decided to check out the facts. Turns out there is no draft, and if there ever was going to be one, we'd have plenty of notice. But you know what else I found out? Young men like me still need to register with Selective Service when we turn 18. Why register when there's no draft? Well, first off, it's the law. Guys have had to register for almost 60 years. Second, if you're a guy living in the U.S. and you don't register, you get shut out of important opportunities like college loans, job training, good jobs, and even a driver's license in most states. But I guess for me, I register because it's the right thing to do. Things are crazy in this world right now. And if the country ever does decide it needs me, I'm going to do my part.
Guys, register with Selective Service when you turn 18. Go to SSS.gov or your local post office.
Get hooked on Charter Digital. Choice, convenience, clarity, control. Get hooked on Charter High Speed on your internet. It's faster, it's more convenient, and it's a lot easier. Get hooked on Charter DVR. Record programs when you want to see them. Watch them back when you want to see them. Get hooked on Charter HDTV and see the cleanest, clearest pictures you've ever seen on TV. Get hooked on Charter and go where satellite can't. Call 1-866-332-6749 today. That's 1-866-332-6749. Charter. Get hooked.
Back with Karen Vealey and CalcoSnews.com with Bill Benica. Thank you for joining me. Oh, yeah, that ended abruptly there. I forgot to pot it down before I turned it off. Okay, well, that's the end of that music. All right, so we're talking about all kinds of different stuff that's going on in our world, and there's a lot of folderol that is happening. And so let's talk about some other things that are going on. I was going to ask you about you had an article on your site today about Lois Capps and Abel Maldonado.
They've been doing is, and it's kind of odd because this is just typical politics. This is, when it happened locally in the supervisor race, suddenly it was the nastiest campaigns known to man. But in politics, they often, candidates regularly point out the problems with other candidates. If you just say everything was beautiful and wonderful, well, the incumbent is going to win, generally. So on this one with Maldonado and Capps, there's a typical email firestorm of, each sending each other emails, or sending the press emails about the other. Now, we know that Abel Maldonado and his family business is under fire for possible tax troubles. This has not gone, the IRS is saying they owe close to, $350,000 or $400,000,
right,
or more. So Lois Capps posted her... somebody in the media requested it from her. So she sent it over and then posted it on her site and sent a challenge to Abel Maldonado to post it on his site,
But here's what I commented last week, or this early this week. I forget I had a day off in between. I said, as we get within a certain distance of the general election, they have to both do it anyway. Don't you have to say how much money you have and where it is?
Yeah, but you don't have to give the tax returns and all your addendums and everything. You just have to say how much you made. And you don't have to show your tax returns now.
How if you declare that this is what I have, then how do they know without a tax return if you have stock investments you have enlisted or anything else? Don't they have to verify it?
Well, that's the interesting thing is, for example, I have checked even a local supervisor race here and found out that they, the primary thing was you're supposed to also say sold and found, I think it was with Bruce Gibson, sold and purchased. And one year he has, I can't remember, 30, 40 stocks. And the next year he's down to 10 and doesn't have any, you know, the sold and purchased. So there are requirements, and I think it's sometimes it's obvious that they haven't been followed. But in this case, Maldonado said he would post, or his campaign said he'd post his last year's filing, but that's not the one I think he's under fire for. I think he's under fire for earlier filings where they say they were personal deductions. So after Capps' challenge, 2 days later, Maldonado comes out with a challenge, and he wants her to vote regarding, what is it called, the...
This is the Fast and Furious crazy thing that happened with the guns in Mexico. And, of course, Attorney General Eric Holder's under possible contempt of Congress for this.
And this happens every time, and I think the president took, what was it called that he took? He decided not to speak on this.
Presidential privilege.
Yeah, and this has happened with every recent president out there. This isn't new. So he is asking her to go against the president and try to force the attorney general to speak.
I mentioned earlier that I have contempt for Congress myself. I mentioned this week. So there's a lot of us. There are a lot of us lined up for this. Anyhow, so be that as it may, if you're going to call that a challenge, of course he's being a Republican. What is he going to say? No. Oh, you're saying. Oh, you're saying. She's saying you're going to. I want
he
you to say no.
He wants her to vote to
no.
For yes. Oh. To force him to do it. But here's the interesting thing is.
Really.
You yes, and so he's telling her, you know, you need to vote this way, or you know, for the people because this happened. But if you look at the comments under the story, only during political season do you get this. They're almost evenly split with people that like Lois Capps and Abel Maldonado, and they're kind of really angry at each other and battling, if you notice. It's a little bit more contentious than some of the blogs.
Let me read a couple. Here we go. I'll bet that no one asked Capps to provide her tax returns. No one cares. When you have a congressperson that is just a Democratic placeholder and has next to no accomplishments, I would expect her tax returns to be legitimate. Then the other person say, here comes Carl, et tu, citizen. Is citizen like those businesses such as Clear Skies and Operation Iraqi Freedom, gun control mentioned below? Anyway, they go on. They go back and forth.
They just fight. And then all these people, if you look at the thumbs up and thumbs down, 25, 30 up and down on some of the stories. And so people are just battling, and you've got a pretty even mixed group between those that like Capps and those that like Maldonado.
Yeah, there's, the biggest, let me see if I sign more than 11 likes. No, here's 14. Here's 14 dislikes, and then 6 likes, and this is Fast and Furious under Obama was never negotiated with or known by the Mexican government. The guns were not followed at all, but allowed to walk across the border. So obviously that's somebody that's anti-Democrat right there. But, you know, and you're right. You know, this is the season of insanity, so I try to sidestep as much as I can and say, okay, you know, when it's all over, let's find out. I'll vote November. You vote November. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
It is interesting, though, to see the passion that comes out.
Oh, yeah.
And another interesting thing, for those, did you talk about the Kelly Gearhart, Jay Miller, the sentencing?
I was going to ask you, why, I'm not exactly sure I understand why Hearst, this Hearst financial guy, why is he allowed to postpone the sentencing again?
Okay. And I want to preface this with my dad was a federal agent. He opened the office in Santa Maria. He is absolutely not involved in anything, but knows some of the processes. Primarily, what is going on is you had an FBI investigation into, in a seizure warrant, it actually called it organized crime.
Okay.
So, and this was with Jay Miller, Kelly Gearhart. It was a Ponzi scheme where over $100 million, I think 1,200 seniors in the community lost more than $100 million throughout all of them.
Right.
So anyway, the investigation has been coming on for some time. Jay Miller was supposed to testify. It was supposed to be have a plea agreement to testify against the other people involved. Near the end, he backed out, actually after Calcos News wrote a story claiming some of the things he wanted, which were very interesting. He wanted to be able to bring his own tennis shoes. He wanted only 7 years in a federal prison. He wanted to be in prison camp and not the regular prison population over in Lompoc. So they were battling back and forth, and he just stuck his heels in and said, I'm not doing it. So they said, okay, and they filed an information, which is similar to an indictment, but you don't arrest the person. And they said, you're facing 80 years in jail. That next day, he signed the plea agreement and sent it over. So then after that was done, they scheduled a hearing at first for March. That was rescheduled to June. Now it's been rescheduled till October. Now, what I have been told is, generally, no one is sentenced till the case is done being investigated completely, whether it be by federal investigators or federal attorney investigators. Until the investigation is over, no one is sentenced.
Okay, so he, and obviously is still being investigated, and he's sort of turned state's evidence, is that what you call it? Anyway, so he's testifying against others. We have to assume who we know the others are. One would obviously be Kelly Gearhart, wouldn't you think? Anyway, so that's my guess. I'll say it out loud.
Kelly Gearhart's name is in his information. Yeah, it says KG.
I would have to say it has to be.
It says KG, but it's obvious.
Okay, so basically, what he's doing is he was asking for just the stars and the moon, you know, and they said, excuse me, you know, you are a criminal. You understand that you are? Anyway, so it's like weird. So anyway, I understand why now. So yeah, the whole thing has to wrap up before they do anything. So so that would mean to me that between now and October, the fists are going to be flying out there.
And I actually thought that was going to happen last time. I mean, this has been almost a 5-year investigation.
Yeah,
that's a very long time. But I get press releases from the federal attorney's office on the Central Valley end here. And lately, I've been getting a lot of fraud going back to 05 and 07, 08. So it does appear sometimes to take a long time for them to finish cases. And I think that's due to some of the requirements and also being careful. But
I understand that. Yeah, they have to basically say, you know, we want to make sure we don't screw it up, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I understand that. All right, so that's a huge story, and it's a big thing that's going on. Now, here we had another story, though. We had the guy butchering pigs out there in the North County. Was it North County or South County?
Doing it in Napomo, and I was sent probably 10 photos of the most ghastly stuff about 4 days ago. And did you see the photos of the pig at the bottom?
No, but the thing is oh, no, I didn't.
Let me click on that. I put a nice picture. Don't open it if you don't want to see kind of gross.
Okay, but here's the thing, though. If you go to Farmer John's down there on Vigna Street in L.A., you're not going to enjoy what you see.
Well, this guy was this place was licensed as a hog slaughterhouse until 1980. At that point, they let it go, but they continued to slaughter as many as 48 pigs a month. And they said they used dirty tools, knives. They did it unsanitary. And they would have people lined up at the gates on the weekends to buy these meat from these pigs. And then they would take the remains, the skins, and you could see this on the site. There's some pretty nasty pictures.
Yeah.
And they would take the
stuff and burn it. By the looks.
No, some of it. A lot of it. There's just piles, and I have many more pictures. There's just piles of remains all around the property. And then
the guy's not tidy. That's for sure.
But the FDA requires if you're going to be selling meat for people to eat. It requires inspection because think about all the different things that they found at meat plants. How many times has hamburger during an FDA investigation been found to have some contamination?
Yeah, right.
They check the meat regularly, and they check it in batches to protect the health of the public.
So let me ask you a question, though. So this becomes another issue, I think, perhaps. It becomes a social issue. Was there any indication of the economic status of his clientele?
I don't know. And this has been going on again since about 1980. And he was a school teacher. He taught over at Santa Maria High School, taught government and traditional Mexican dance. That's a weird combination.
I know, a little different right there. Here's what I'm thinking about. I'm just wondering if he sold this pork products at a really reasonable price, let's say, and then people that don't have a lot of dough could afford it, and, you know, it's a huge part of a Mexican-American diet is pork. I mean, if you go to a market in Santa Maria, it looks like they took a hand grenade, put it inside a pig, and blew it up, and then put the parts in the wrappers there. If you took all that, put it back together again, and put electricity on there, it would run down the street. Do you know what I'm talking about? Brains, noses, eyes, ears, feet.
Yeah.
Any part of that pig. Innards, outards, the whole thing.
Well, the thing is, I wondered if he was paying his IRS taxes also. And if you look at the average size of a pig when it's sold and slaughtered and the amount he was selling, he was making about $15,000 a month if you're looking at the rates that these sell for out of farms.
Well, that now there's an issue right there, and that's interesting because even if, let's say, he could beat the rap on you know, selling uninspected meat, you know, and somehow could get around that in any way, he's not going to get around the IRS if he hasn't paid taxes.
No.
And I can't imagine a guy that's butchering hogs illegally in the Pomo is going to actually claim that on his taxes. Yeah. It's like the people that rob, you know, if you rob a bank, you're supposed to put the, if they don't find all the money, you're supposed to claim that on your taxes.
When oh, really?
Oh, yeah, when you're in prison, you're supposed to fill out a tax thing that says, you know, I made this much money. It's absurd. The whole thing's crazy, you know what I mean? But if they know that you robbed a bank of $15,000, they recoup 10 of it, then you owe $5,000 on taxes to the IRS. You owe that mon that money. All right, so this is weird. Then one of the things that's interesting, because it started in Alaska, but now this is happening much, much sooner than anybody thought in the whole wide world, and that is the tsunami debris from Fukushima are now coming our way and actually have hit the coast up by Cambria, I guess.
Yes, and there was a ball, the Tribune broke the story, but there was a ball found, a 5 diameter round. I found copies of that. They appear to be made. I saw some made in China. And they're used either as fishing, with fishing nets, or sometimes as buoy markers. But it had Japanese writing on it, and there was also a lotion bottle and a red light bulb all with Japanese writing. And they also, here's the other interesting thing, they didn't think it hit the Central Coast very much. They think the bulk of it will go to the giant plastic dump that lies out in the Pacific and head toward Hawaii. So it's... it's unknown what is, you know, I don't know if we're going to get a whole lot.
Well, it depends on this current change, because the way they showed the pattern previously that I saw on Google Earth was that it was actually going to miss Hawaii. They thought it would just head pretty much north, you know, north of Hawaii and then even north of us. But it seems to be coming down. But then, you know, and then what they're wondering is this thing going to connect to that big trash pile the size of Texas is out there now?
They believe that will. They actually say that they think it will join the rest of the trash.
Jeez.
But you know, that's it is interesting. It's very odd the way this is moving around. But I think the bigger issue is what are they going to do about all the trash in the ocean?
And what can they do? I don't know. They can't burn it, so I don't know what they're going to do with it. Can they sink it? Maybe they put a big net over it and sink it.
I don't know how hard it would be to do a giant. How wide is this thing? Mile?
Texas.
Texas. It would be
big net.
A big net that you're trying to pull down all those plastic bottles.
Wow. Anyway, it really is amazing. Now let's get to there's talk about this thing too. It was in the business section the other day on the Wall Street Journal. They had a thing about a guy. Now the county's starting to talk about this. I understand about a guy who's has really done a whole lot with developing these eco-friendly bags and stuff. You know, he's making stuff out of corn husks or whatever the hell else it is. You know, but it looks like plastic, but it's not plastic. And so this may turn around something interesting with San Luis Obispo. If ultimately, let's say the grocers say, okay, we want to have bags again, but these things are biodegradable. Will there be an argument against that? I would think there shouldn't be.
But see, they're not even wanting people to have paper bags.
Why?
If you use a paper bag, they want you to be charged for using a paper bag, because they want you to bring it in a bag that you keep in your, you know, have bags in your car that you bring in.
Here's the problem with paper bags. The only thing, this is where this is fairly evident that you don't. Here's the problem with paper bags. If you use a paper bag as a trash can liner and you throw your garbage in there, the paper bag's not going to get recycled. It's going to go into the dump, you know, with your trash in it.
But I think it biodegrades fairly quickly.
Oh, no, I'm not worried about biodegrading. Yeah. But what I'm saying is, though, it's not, you know, if people say, well, the thing's recycled. Well, it may have been recycled once, but if you use it for garbage, it's not going to be recycled again. If you use it for recycling in your recycle bin, then yeah. It would get recycled, but not if it goes to the dump and you put trash in it. Garbage in it. So that, you know, I can see where people might say, well, we're burning up trees and stuff with the paper bags.
But, you know, I wonder how many trees with the less paper that we're using now, if we're really having a tree shortage at this time.
All right, we're gonna get on the horn here. That's true with the computers and all that. Well, I think I print out lots more stuff than I ever did back in the old days. Hello, who's on the phone?
Oh, hi, it's Ann.
Hi, Ann.
You know, the problem that I don't think anybody's solved yet with either plastic or biodegradable something. My understanding is once stuff goes into the dump and it's capped, the landfill becomes anaerobic and nothing degrades.
Because
they
it doesn't get any air?
They had a professor down in, I think, Arizona years ago. He'd take his students out and they'd literally excavate trash dumps from 1950 and they'd pull up hot dogs that were still soft and squishy and hadn't degraded at all because the bacteria have no oxygen.
How interesting.
And you could read the newspaper, you know, Eisenhower wins, whatever. So, that's my understanding, is if unless they've figured out some way to aerate and get oxygen down there so all the little good bugs can get busy and eat all this stuff up. I mean, obviously plastic is going to sit there forever, but all the organics, if they're sealed off basically in a tomb,
that's interesting.
It's just sit there forever. If you think about, like, coffins that are watertight and sealed, you can dig them up 100 years later, and you got this desiccated little body and fabric, and, I mean, not much has been eaten up. You got to be in the dirt all turned up, you know, natural to get the bugs to get going. So I don't know when they speak of biodegradable anything.
That's interesting, Ann.
I don't know what the heck they're talking about.
Where'd you read that?
Well, like I say, this professor goes out and digs up, you know.
Stuff. No, it sounds like it makes sense.
Yeah, usually if they're packed down, because you will start generating, I mean, there's methane gaskets, you know, but right. In an anaerobic where there isn't lots of oxygen, little critters that need oxygen to live croak.
To eat the stuff, don't do it.
Yeah,
wow.
It's kind of, yeah. So I don't know. I don't know. Maybe they're doing landfills differently where they put oxygen down there to keep things churned up or something. Because normally they'll pack it real heavy and then put dirt on top and basically it gets sealed.
Wow, that's interesting.
So I don't know if, and then if you dig it up, whether you just like this guy was reading newspapers from 1950.
No, this is a hoot.
So I don't know.
No, this is really something because, you know, everybody, I for one, I got sucked into this idea of saying, okay, if you can make cellulose bags, then once they're put in the dump, I guess everything's fine. And I would assume that 99% of people might think the same thing, except for Ann, who happened to see the professor guy reading I Like Ike papers.
Yeah, I don't, you know, and one of the things with compost piles, they tell you all the time, you got to keep turning it.
Right, that's true.
To get the oxygen in and keep moving around. If you just get it wet and let it sit there, it won't decompose because there just isn't enough of the happy bacteria with lots of air. So I don't know. Maybe if there is a waste management person out there that could give you a call, that'd be interesting to find out what happens all that stuff for.
Well,
you can go out in the here. There used to be an old dump out here in Los Osos, and you'd dig down and you'd find bits and pieces buried under there. I've dug up some of the people that owned the house before me used to bury their trash in the backyard, and I'd be planting petunias and I'd dig up bits of aluminum and, you know, little bits of this and that. So
and they were
I
just
mean,
still there.
Yeah,
that's
stuff can last a long time.
Very interesting, Anna.
But anyway, that might be an interesting question for the waste people to
probably. Maybe why all that stuff's still left from the Titanic. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, there's no oxygen there to begin the rot process.
Because they found suits of clothes and
yep.
Shoes, you know, not leather even shoes, but they found canvas shoes and stuff like that. So that's interesting.
Yeah, and of course it's cold.
Yeah, really.
Really
yeah.
cold. So yeah. bacteria that eat stuff up they like certain temperature ranges and certain they have requirements before they go to work.
Well, I saw the movie and luckily Kate Winslet made it. That's
yes.
how I feel. All right.
yeah. Anyway, that might be a good
ma'am.
Question
all
to
right,
pursue.
Good. Thank you. I appreciate it.
That's all.
Right.
Bye.
This is 1340 KYNS, your news station, and I'm with Karen Vealey from CalcoastNews.com, and you're with Bill Benica, and we're talking about things of unusual nature there with that, because I had not really thought that through myself, and that makes sense that if you don't have any air, nothing's going to happen.
It does. It does. And even the sand district, the sanitation plant at SLO, I was there about a week ago. My granddaughter had a field trip.
To the sanitation plant?
Yes. Yeah. You know, the other parents, they go to Hearst Castle, I go to the sanitation plant. Anyway, it was very interesting. They repeatedly said how important the bacteria was, and they have to have this bacteria to get it to move along.
That's what these
bacteria.
Big ponds are, correct?
Yeah, well, some of them are real heavy in bacteria.
Wow.
Or they look heavy in bacteria.
Wow. Here's another story that you posted today that's rather important, and, you know, we just got in this business, and you had it posted about, you know, we're getting this two-tier system in the county, and different agencies are saying, okay, this has to happen because we can't pay for everybody. And here they had this, I read this story the other day about how we have people retiring in a system that hasn't had a dime put into it for 17 years, and you have people retiring, and they're making over $300,000 a year in retirement. It's absurd. So Stockton's basically saying, you know what, we don't want to go bankrupt. We don't want to be the largest city to go bankrupt in California. And so actually be the largest city of all to go bankrupt. And so they're slashing employee pay and benefits, and they're, you know, they're just – and here's – this is like what's happening now. What we begin to realize is it's the goose that laid the golden egg, you know. Everybody went too far. People just went too far with it. So,
yeah.
So you know, they're just going to – I don't know how – there's no way to sustain this retirement stuff that's coming at us in the future. There's just no way. There's no way a city, there's no way a county, there's no way the state. Nothing can sustain that kind of money going out. It just can't. There's no. They're not going to be the money to go out. So, I would say if I was a public employee at this point, I'd say I'd be very careful about, you know, how I planned my future, because this is going to happen in other cities for sure. In counties, they're just going to say, guess what? Sorry, we don't have the dough.
Yes, I think it's going to happen again and again and again. The idea was to bring public employees closer to the private sector. But public employees now make well over the average in the private sector.
Yes, I know.
And I think, especially people that are media or journalist majors.
That's right. Well, what we got into this thing about, you know, the problem is that it's not apples to apples when you're in the public sector, whereas you should be comparable to somebody else in the private sector. It's what somebody else in another public sector is making. You know, and that's what happens. It happens with firemen, cops. It happens, I'm sure, with everybody, these unions. The unions say, okay, if this is what's being made over here, why should we have to take less? And so it just is a self-perpetuating disaster ready to happen, I think. You know, and quite frankly, it's not really fair to the taxpayer to say, here, you try to figure out how to take care of yourself and your retirement and pay for your kids and all that, and also pay for ours, too.
Yeah.
I don't know why. And if you talk to somebody that's a public employee, they sort of don't get that. I don't know why they don't get it. So they end up saying, this is what I've been told, well, that's your fault for not, you know, become an idiot radio guy. That's your fault for not being working for the state, working for the city, working for the county. I've been told that so many times, it's your fault. You didn't sign on. You didn't sign on the gravy train, pal.
And also the percentage. I think locally it's something like 24% are in government jobs.
It's amazing. All right, and actually, that percentage in San Luis Obispo County, I'm sure, used to be higher than that. I mean,
we are higher, and it may not be 24 now. I think the last time I looked was probably 6 months ago, and it could be a lot, 22 to 24, but we were higher than most counties.
All right, we thank you for coming in today, Karen. Don't forget to go to CalcoastNews.com every day, 24/7, check on what the news stories are. And because I don't have, Jim D's not going to be in today, so I'm going to play his end music because it's appropriate for the stories today.
We'll be right back.
CBS News is next on 1340 KYNS San Luis Obispo. I'm Bill Benica, thanking you for joining me, and will join me in the next hour after the news.
CBS News, I'm Pam Coulter.
Today's verdict is a monumental victory for all the named and unnamed victims of child sexual assault.
Philadelphia DA Seth Williams on a mixed verdict in a landmark case alleging cover-up of priest sex abuse. Monsignor William Lynn was found not guilty of conspiracy, but was convicted of endangering children. KYW's Tony Hansen says the panel deadlocked on charges against another priest.
The jury was unable to reach verdicts on either of the two counts against Father Brennan, who was charged with sexually assaulting a teen back in 1996. Father Brennan pleaded not guilty, and the jury was unable to reach a verdict. The jury was hung on both counts against him.
Another jury in Pennsylvania continues to deliberate a child sex abuse case, pausing to ask questions about one incident in the Penn State showers. Jerry Sandusky charged with abusing 10 boys. CBS's Barry Bagnato in Bellefonte.
This is a sensational trial receiving international attention, but locals here in downtown Bellefonte are, for the most part, going about their business. Some parents have their kids pose in front of TV cameras and satellite trucks packed into the courthouse entrance. Pickup trucks with windows wide open on this sweltering day every so often hot rod down the street, the drivers glancing at the unusual scene that has turned this town upside down.
That referendum to hike tobacco taxes to pay for cancer research in California has failed by 0.6%, according to the Associated Press. It failed by about 27,000 of 5 million votes cast. President Obama's message is music to the ears of Latino leaders meeting in Lake Buena Vista, Florida today.
We should have passed the DREAM Act a long time ago. It was written by members of both parties. When it came up for a vote a year and a half ago, Republicans in Congress blocked it.
Last week, the president said he would end deportations of some young people in the country illegally. Republican Mitt Romney got a cool reception from the group yesterday. He'll likely find a much warmer atmosphere in Park City, Utah, where Romney's hosting big donors this weekend. CBSNews.com senior political reporter Brian Montopoli.
A lot of these people are what are called bundlers, and what bundlers do is reach out to their friends, acquaintances, family to try to get them to also make donations. Well, the more connection they feel to Mitt Romney, the more effort they're going to make in doing that. And so while this is a thank you, it's certainly also a forward-looking effort to keep the money rolling in.
The Arkansas Supreme Court has declared the state's execution law unconstitutional. Richard Dieter with the Death Penalty Information Project says the court sided with inmates who said only the legislature can set that policy.
I think this is a temporary stop. The court said that they improperly gave the Department of Corrections all the power to determine how executions are to be carried out. It's more a legislative area.
And at the close today, the Dow up 77 points. This is CBS News.
Hey everybody, Jay Farner here from Quicken Loans. Right now, Quicken Loans is proud to offer you our exclusive Yorgage, a mortgage that's custom fit for you. It's a fixed rate home loan that allows you to select a term that works best for your individual needs, anywhere from 8 to 29 years. The rate today on our 8-year fixed Yorgage is an amazing 2.875%, APR 3.5%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN. We'll help you keep more of that hard-earned money in your pocket where it belongs. Maybe that's why for the second year in a row now, J.D. Power & Associates ranked Quicken Loans highest in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination in the nation. It's really this simple. I believe there's never been a more perfect time to refinance or purchase than right now. Again, the rate today on an 8-year fixed mortgage is an amazing 2.875%, APR 3.5%. So give us a call today at 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN or visit us at quickenloans.com.
For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit jdpower.com. Other restrictions may apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Your workplace may be more dog-eat-dog than usual today.
You may notice some of your coworkers are a little furrier today. Many dogs are excited to be part of National Take Your Dog to Work Day.
It's a dog-eat-dog and his best friend gets tired of fidget sticks. I'll box some quirks, I'll chase some leaves. Teach this dog new tricks. Gotta take your dog to work.
It's a day set aside to honor our canine friends and to encourage people to adopt a dog from their local shelter. Oh, no, thank you. Sam Litzinger, CBS News.
The man convicted of threatening the creators of the TV show South Park has been sentenced to 11 and a half years in prison. Jesse Curtis Morton is a Muslim convert from Brooklyn who pleaded guilty to posting the online threats for what he considered to be insults to the Prophet Muhammad. He also admitted creating a website for Al-Qaeda propaganda. Pam Coulter, CBS News.
Hello, State Farm.
Hi, can I bundle my auto, home, and life policies together at State Farm?
You could save hundreds, and you can deal with just one State Farm agent.
Just one?
Just me.
I won't be bandied off to some bungling bargain basement bailiwick in East Bumstumble?
Nope, only me.
No BS, no baloney, and no ballyhooed bundling bunkum?
Believe it.
No matter how many policies you have, it can all stay with one State Farm agent.
Bless you.
Better?
Beyond better. Bye.
Bye.
Get to a better state. Call 1-800-STATE-FARM today.
The Home Depot now has 15% off select special order doors and windows from top brands like Masonite, Feather River, and Geldwin. That'll add more than a little curb appeal to any home, but not a lot to a budget. We're opening the doors and windows to an upgrade thanks to 15% off select special order doors and windows. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through June 27th, U.S. only. See store for details.
Want to improve office morale around the break room? Are you tired of hearing employees grumble about bad office coffee? There's an easy solution to this. Invite Slow Roasted Coffee's office service into your business. They're your local coffee company that features fair trade certified organically grown coffees roasted daily and delivered fresh to you so you can taste the difference. For 24 years now, this locally owned and operated family business has been serving the Central Coast. Slow Roasted Coffee believes customer service really does matter, which is why they provide 24-hour customer care. Slow Roasted Coffee's office service is perfect for the workplace as well as restaurants and lodging facilities. You'll never have a bitter cup of coffee again. Consistency, freshness, and convenience is what you'll enjoy when you call Slow Roasted Coffee's office service. Call them at 528-7317. That's 528-7317. Coffee, the original energy drink.
Your business will work better when you work with Coastal Computers. Coastal Computers is here for small business. It doesn't matter whether price is your first concern or your last. Service is Coastal Computers' first concern, and that includes your successful, user-friendly, and painless operation. Really, computer networking where the tail doesn't wag the dog. Coastal Computers is known for making the tough stuff easy. They've been doing it for over 25 years with lots of happy clients. And they're worth a call. 543-9047. 543-9047. Coastal Computers. Microsoft, Intel, and networking specialists. Call 543-9047 or visit ccslo.com. People in the business of letting you get on with your business. Call 543-9047 for Coastal Computers.
I got to tell you the truth. That's David Sanborn, and that was called Monica Jane, and we know what she does for a living. I can tell you that. Wait a minute, maybe it changes. Oh, it gets better. Oh, wait. Let's get down to work. Okay, let's sit down to business. Got a little bit better anyway. Monica Jane. Hey, threw me for a loop there. You're with Bill. This is Talking Sheep, your friends and neighbors, never with Bill. And let me tell you what's going on at Spencer's Fresh Markets, because, boy, have they got an idea for you for the weekend. Are you ready? The weather's supposed to be good, a little cool, a little coolish. But the weather's supposed to be good. Your choice, $1.79 a pound. You can get fresh, boneless, skinless, chickenless breast juice. You can get prairie fresh natural pork, fresh cut pork steaks. You can get lean and meaty baby back ribs, or you can get prairie fresh natural pork, country style pork ribs. Any one of those for $1.79 a pound. What a great idea that is. Indoor farmers market every single day at Spencer's. Yellow or white peaches, 99 cents a pound. Vine ripe cantaloupe, 2 for $3. They have juicy green limes, 10 for a dollar. How about 10 for a buck? It's margarita 10. And if you're drinking Mexican beer, right there, 10 for a dollar. All right, I know what you do with that stuff. Fresh jicama, large ripe tomatoes are 99 cents a pound. The jicama is 2 pounds for a buck. They got all the great stuff there. And then they have other things that are really good, like wild Alaskan sockeye salmon fillets. And Nancy, I just had some of this salmon the other day. It was absolutely excellent. It was barbecued. It was done very well. It was excellent. All right, and then don't forget they do have their, they're advertising Harris Ranch lean ground beef. But Spencer's, you just buy Spencer's. They make it themselves, and they do it themselves. They grind it. And I hope you'll try it, because it really makes a difference. And then here's Boar's Head Salami. They have a genuine oven-roasted turkey breast. And then right now, this very day, you could get, unless you've already had lunch, a Super Sub Sandwich. You can have it for dinner. Super Sub Sandwich for $6.99. Sliced meats and cheeses on their whole wheat jalapeno cheese roll. Or you can get any kind of bread you want. Anyway, it's just delightful. Creamy macaroni and potato salad, $1.49. Everything's at Spencer's in 5 locations on the Central Coast in Arroyo Grande, Santa Maria, San Luis Obispo, Morro Bay, and Atascadero, California. All right, sorry. Well, you know, I almost don't want to talk about Jerry Sandusky. It's so disgusting. But now his son, his adopted son, whose name is Matt, his son actually went to the DA before the trial was over, and they went to the jury. He said, "I'll testify because I'm upset. I realized after one of the other people testified that I just have to say something." And so anyway, so what they then said was, "Well, no, we'll kind of leave him out of it for now, and we'll, if we have to refile more criminal charges, let's say he's found guilty, and then they file more criminal charges, then he's there. If they find him innocent." And it's a hung jury, then they can call for a retrial, and they'll have other witnesses, because it seems like other people, this investigation isn't over, and it's so ugly. Okay, I'm done. All right, other things going on. Other things that are happening here. Well, here's an interesting tale right here. This is sort of interesting, I think. And that's not the one I want. Let me get this one. All right. So here's an interesting thing that this lady has. This lady has an interesting thing going on. She had cancer. She had breast cancer in both breasts. She had a double mastectomy. So now the question is, and her question is, shouldn't I be allowed to swim topless?
Does your phone give you all day battery life? Droid does. And does it launch apps by voice while learning your voice?
Launch cat for me.
Droid does.
He's cracked at the fork.
Does it do turn-by-turn navigation? Droid does. With Verizon, America's largest 4G LTE network, and Motorola, whatever you want to do, Droid does.
In a city as progressive... as Seattle is.
And my head's reeling a little bit.
Jody Jakes never thought her desire to go swimming would make such a splash.
It's not my style, you know, to make big waves, but this is much bigger.
It would be one thing if it was a style choice for her to want to swim in public topless. It's a whole nother thing when you realize it's because of this.
I found it on a self-breast exam.
Jakes survived breast cancer last year and chose to have a double mastectomy, both breasts removed, over the fear the cancer could come back. Being active was always a part of life. Remaining active was crucial to recovery. Someone suggested a public pool in the Central District as a way for her to heal. But for Jakes, a full bathing suit would bring intense pain as her body recovered. She told the park staff she would like to swim topless. She no longer had breasts, nothing to shield. Their response, she would still have to dress accordingly and cover up.
If I called myself a man and walked into that pool, they would have no problem with my body. But if I am a woman who's had breast cancer with the exact same body and I go in there, then it was offensive or inappropriate.
A photo of her post-cancer body appeared in The Stranger, which broke the story. A story that now is the city reversing its course, saying she'll be able to swim topless if she wants to, but all others will be on a case-by-case basis.
The city, it's a bureaucracy, but I don't think it's in keeping with what most people think of the progressive politics of Seattle.
I don't know anything about the politics of Seattle. I was there, but I was in the Navy. It wasn't very progressive in the Navy, can I tell you the truth? Okay. But here's the other thing that's kind of interesting. This is one of those stories that just sort of fascinates in a way because she's right. If she had put on a men's swim trunks and gone and just jumped in the pool, nobody would have ever said a word to her because she has short hair. And you could have long hair and be a guy, but she happens to have, you know, quite short hair. And so this wouldn't have been an issue. But so by bringing attention to herself, it became an issue. Now it seems like it's resolved, but then it could, and I'll say this because it's true, it could be disconcerting to some people to see a woman who is scarred this way swimming. But if they didn't know she had been a woman, it would have just been some guy that had something bad happen to him. You can see where it gets kind of dicey there. The world's becoming more complicated, you notice? In the old days, women would just die. You know, we couldn't save them. They had double mastectomies. They had breast cancer in both breasts. That was the end of it. Life's changing. All the time. Okay. Now, I will call, because I mentioned this with Karen, I'm going to call because I had a thing in the Tribune about women's jail expansion still on track, and there's some requirements about whether you have to have engineering studies done, architectural studies, and you have to have consultants and all that. And I have to admit, I don't know the rules, so I was taken aback a little bit because I know architects, and they design the whole thing, and everything's fine. But it's for private people. I haven't talked to one that does something for the city, so I'll call somebody and ask. The Highway 46 bridges are nearly finished. These are long bridges, too. These are long bridges. Okay? They go from Genesco Road all the way to Whitley Gardens past Estrella Road. And I have to tell the first thing that came to my mind was I know that they try to make things more earthquakey safe and all that, you know, but if they should go down, you know, now an exit out of the county that was available is no longer available. Just thought I'd tell you. Activists urge NRC to halt all nuclear power plants. Slow Mothers for Peace say, you know what, they just said, the court said you have to have some place to store the stuff that's not on site. Well, so I have to admit, so what does that mean then? I mean, how can a power plant keep operating if they at some point have to get rid of the spent nuclear rods that they have that they're operating on right now, and they have to go on site, which they're not allowed to do anymore? So it kind of defies the imagination here about exactly where this is going. But it's got to go someplace a lot faster, you know, as the folks in Washington dither about, you know, who cares, political stuff. Then don't worry about immigration right now, okay? Everybody drop their pens and put them down, and don't worry about immigration right now because we have this problem that's going to plague a lot of cities that really is important, you know what I mean? Now, and I said drop your pens. Now, Jeannie Moose has a little story here that I think you might find interesting about celebrities all of a sudden dropping. Well, there used to be an expression called dropping trowel, which I never liked at all, but people dropping their pants.
Wouldn't it be cool if we took an Altima and reimagined nearly everything in it? Introducing our most innovative Altima ever. Nissan. Innovation that excites.
It was a day destined to go down in television history, the day not one, but two major stars...
Notice I've been trying to diet. I lost so much weight that...
drop their pants.
The problem is that none of my clothes fit me, so if you put your hands in your pockets, your pants come down.
So what if Alec Baldwin may have been trying to distract from his latest meltdown, shoving a photographer? Such short-term memories departed as he stood there in his shorts.
Well, now I'm thinking, should I take my pants off?
Sure you should. Dave modestly disrobed behind the chairs. There are perils to publicly dropping your pants.
Let's talk about Alec Baldwin's legs for a second.
Hairy!
Very hairy.
A blog called Seriously OMG said he has some sexy gams. I just wish he took a weed whacker to them.
It's like a woman's cleavage. After a certain age, nobody wants to see it.
Oh, they'd be examining my junk.
Yeah.
Well, actually, Dave, it's your socks that everyone's examining. We've seen them before. For instance, the time you showed them to Vogue editor Anna Wintour.
Take a look at those, honey.
But you always kept your pants on.
Here they are right here.
Fans always wanted to know why you wear white socks, and Dave would say they're gray, that he got them as a gift or in bulk at Costco.
I got a 1,000 pairs of socks.
Oh, you do.
When an audience member said he was inspired by Dave to wear the same socks, Letterman gave him 3 pairs. No one showed more interest than Regis Philbin.
The man wears knee socks all the way up to his knee. $250 a pair. And I got myself a pair of them, too. Check it out, baby.
When Letterman and Baldwin finally did drop trial, Dave made his own tabloid headline, Letter Junk. And when the credits rolled on Letterman, they should have read, Worldwide, No Pants. Ginny knows CNN. New York.
Who knows? Because, you see, now people that are trying to psychoanalyze all this stuff, they're saying this has to do with, like, Madonna was exposing her breastage and all that kind of stuff at one of her concerts. And so now it's like, is everybody going crazy now and they want to just, you know, take their pants off? When I'm in the shower, yes, I do. Other times, I do. Now, here's some things that are going on that defy the imagination. There's so many things. Oh, guess what's going on right now? There's just that special something that you have to have, and if you don't have the special something, it doesn't work right. Bless her heart. I said this to you before, many, many, many moons ago, when Ann Curry first took over from Meredith Vieira. I said what they should have done is, long ago, they should have just left Katie Couric on The Today Show and Smiling with Matt Lauer, and they should have taken Ann Curry and made her the news anchor, because she didn't have a reputation being, you know, cutesy, in your dimple. She didn't have that reputation. So, you know, she was the news person. She was like a serious journalist person, and she delivered the news exceptionally well, and she still does. But now, I watched today to see if she smiled at all, and she can't smile because the people that, this is really a shame too, even though she may know it, what's happened is for the first time in forever, 60 years, today's ranking at number one fell below ABC Good Morning America for several weeks. And, you know, Anne is nice, she may be nice. The thing is, though, that, you know, they said, well, she's been one of the workers, or whatever you call them, the worker bees, for all these years. So when Meredith Vieira left, that she should move up. Not necessarily. You know, not necessarily. They did that, but at the time they did it, I said, I don't think that's the right thing to do. I don't think that's the right person in that job. Turns out I'm right. But then I have to tell you something else. It doesn't take, I'm not a genius of any kind. It doesn't, I would really want to know right now where, and I guess I can find it if I look it up on the internet. I guess I'll look it up on the internet, but it's curious to me. Because I turn in, you know, as I'm getting ready in the morning there, I turn into, tune into some of these shows that have people. And Kelly Ripa, she was with Regis Philbin, you know, it was a super popular show and the ratings were real good. And so now she has, the idea was they were going to find her a co-host, but now she has guest hosts all the time. And a lot of times, can I be honest with you, they're not entertaining. They're not worth watching. And so as a result, I don't watch it anymore. I don't ever turn on Kelly Ripa anymore. Because, as a matter of fact, yesterday I wanted to test drive it and say, okay, I wonder who Kelly's co-host is today. Maybe they've actually hired somebody to be the guy. And I turn it on, it's Josh Groban. You know, Josh Groban's a nice singer, might be the nicest guy in the whole wide world. Josh Groban is not exactly electric, if you know what I'm saying. So it's like, okay, well, we don't want to watch that. What's next? Sorry, that's the way it is. Yeah, the people that, you know, do that stuff on camera, and especially in the morning, you know, because you know, in the afternoon people can be snarly and strange. It doesn't matter because everybody's getting off of work. They're snarly and strange. You know, having a cocktail, say, eh, fine. But in the morning, people have to have the right kind of thing. They have to have the thing, whatever that is. I don't know what it is, but I know it when I see it. They have to have the thing. What's a football player's name that's friends with Kelly Ripa? It's not coming to me right now. Anyway, he's funny. I think we would make a great co-host. And they're good friends and all that. But okay. Anyway, move on, Bill. That's the end of that story. Move on. This is the Royal Ascot Horse Race is meeting at Ascot, England. And here's a hat that about reaches the moon right here. It's the most bizarre thing you've ever seen. But they did a piece on this today. Now, my first reaction was, is there nothing more to worry about in the world than whether or not the dresses come within 1 inch from your knee? Men have to make sure they have a sport coat and a tie. Women, their straps on their dresses have to be 1 inch wide. These are seriously all these rules for this Ascot affair. And so I'm saying to myself, you know, this doesn't make any sense. But they can have a hat that's so ridiculous that, you know, I mean, I'm serious. You could wear a doghouse on your head and be peering out the front. That's acceptable. So if my reaction first was, you know, this is really dumb. Then I thought to myself, you know, the world's in chaos all the time nowadays. Maybe just having some decorum at one thing for, you know, once a year in England. Maybe one thing once a year in England, you have a certain amount of decorum. Well, I think they would do it for the Queen, though. I think I have to decorum for her. But anyway, maybe it's okay. Yeah. I wouldn't be part of it, probably. They wouldn't let me wear my ball cap. I'd say, I'm not sure. But it's kind of interesting. All right, here's this new... let's do the films coming out because we don't have Jim D here, and then I'll tell you what's going on with the Palm. All right, wait a second. I got to make sure I got to tell you what's going on with the Palm, too. All right, and then we'll have the whole thing done. All right, here we go. So here's one of the things, here's the story they're talking about. Hollywood's five greatest fiery redheads, because there's this new movie out, a Disney Pixar type affair, with a character... Merida. You know what? I didn't know how to pronounce her name. This happens. I didn't know how to pronounce her name, so I had to watch the trailer on the computer. I had to go to the computer to get the trailer on so I know how to say her name. Merida. It's called. She's a redheaded woman, some kind of a custom thing. It's kind of like that, you know, where the woman was shooting the bows and arrows in that movie. Kind of same idea, which is, you know, makes sense. But here's what they say. The greatest fiery redheads were Katherine Hepburn, Nicole Kidman, Emma Stone, Woody Allen, and Jessica Rabbit. Is that it? Really? Come on, really? Hey? Okay, fine. So this is a new movie coming out. It's called Kelly MacDonald. I believe she's the woman. I don't know who Kelly MacDonald is. I don't know if she's an actress or not. I would not know how to put her name with a face, but she's a voice. I know she does a lot of voice work, and I think she did Tangled. I'm almost 100% sure, you know, close to being sure. I'd have to look it up. All right, here's the thing right here. Let me tell you what's going on at the Palm right now. We have the best exotic Marigold Hotel is being held over still. It's doing good. Headhunters, and this is wild and crazy movie. This Peace, Love, and Misunderstanding is the one with Jane Fonda. And then Suicide. And then The Sound of My Voice is a brand new movie. And did I see something? Let me apologize if I didn't see it. That's a new story. I missed that for some reason. The Sound of My Voice. Let me see if it's in here. The Sound of My Voice. The Sound of My Voice. Yes, it is. A documentary filmmaker and his girlfriend infiltrate a cult and end up being drawn in by a charismatic leader who claims to be from the future. How weird, huh? That's at the Palm. That's a three-ticketer. So that's pretty good. All right, so that's what's going on at the Palm Theater today. I thought I'd throw the Palm thing in there because I don't have Jim. We'll be back together next week, though, for sure. It's going to be fun. All right. Radiohead, which is a rock group, they postponed their concert tour after the last stage collapse and killed people. And they said it's out of decorum and properness. You know, I mean, that's really what it is. And good for them. See, it's not all is not lost. If an outfit named Radiohead cares about decorum, I think we're on the right track somehow. All right. Now, this is an interesting thing right here because I always wondered about this. I always said I thought that the FCC was wrong, and now they're basically saying that the Supreme Court didn't come right out and say they were wrong. They say that the commission standards, when they fine people for, like, Janet Jackson at NBC, and a couple of other things that have happened, you know, people use the F word at the MTV Awards or whatever it is, They say that unfortunately, they say that this occasional, it's called occasional something or something like that. It happens every now and then. They say they didn't really lay out the specifics for networks to know what that involved. Because, for instance, they mentioned Hill Street Blues. What was the name of that show with the cops? One of the cop shows. And they said they showed a ladies' rear end. They showed what's-his-name's rear end, for God's sake. Dennis, what's-his-name? Anyway, so they said that they didn't give him fair notice prior to the broadcast and questioned that fleeting expletives and momentary nudity could be found actionably indecent. So they said if they already said this is what's going to be in the thing and they told the FCC that and the FCC didn't say anything, then they do it and the FCC comes back and says, now we're going to fine you. That's bogus. I can understand that. But the thing that still drives me mad, is that NBC thing with Janet Jackson, because how could they possibly have imagined that anybody would be that stupid? Jimmy? That's just stupidity. You may love Janet Jackson, she's a good singer, whatever. That's fine. But, I mean, that was an absolute act of stupidity in front of the world. If you're going to be in front of the world, then what are you doing that for? That's my opinion. I think they should have fined Janet Jackson. She's got the dough.
Mike Rowe went to a real Ford dealership service department to talk to a real Ford service advisor about a big event.
Fiona, if I didn't know better, I'd say you're having some sort of, sales event?
Yes, we are. Big tire and brake sales event.
That means that you've got lots of different tires?
Yes, we do.
And how do I know as a consumer that Ford has the kind of tire that I need for my particular vehicle?
Well, we carry 11 major brands, so chances are what you're looking for, we have it.
What are the important aspects of the sale?
Right now, we have special rebates, offers, and discounts going on.
You're selling brakes as well?
Yes, we are.
Why should somebody bring their car here to get the brakes done?
When you bring your vehicle to a Ford dealership, you know that your vehicle's being worked on by technicians who work on Fords all day long.
Now, buy four select name brand tires and get a $100 rebate, plus a $40 rebate on Motorcraft Complete Brake Service.
So you have a lot of tires, and it's a big event.
It's a huge event.
And it involves brakes, too.
Yes, it does.
Which is why it's called the Big Tire and Brake Sales Event.
You're good.
Yeah, thank you.
$100 rebate can't be combined with other tire manufacturer rebate or offer. See participating Ford dealer or visit FordOwner.com for vehicle exclusions and rebate details through 5/31/12.
One of the most common places you may encounter noise is at home. Noise-induced hearing loss can occur from prolonged exposure to everyday household items, such as lawn equipment, power tools, toys, MP3 players, stereos, TV sound systems, appliances such as blenders, hand mixers, and food processors, also hair dryers. Listening to these items longer than 30 minutes at loud levels can be dangerous. Have your loved one's hearing checked today. This has been a public service announcement brought to you by Karen Scott Hearing Aids and Audiology.
Kelly Shields is a real Californian providing real hope.
A few years ago, things were good. You know, living the American dream. But this year wasn't going as well. Turns out we had an adjustable rate loan. All of a sudden, I thought we'd lose everything. We qualified for help and got to keep our home. It could work for you, too.
If you find yourself in a situation like Kelly, there's hope. Call 888-995-HOPE or visit yourhome.ca.gov to learn more. This message is brought to you by the state of California, aired by the California Broadcasters.
Thank you.
even sound, I got to tell you, that makes you want to hang yourself in your canary right there, that music. I tell you, it's a little bit strange, a little bit morose to me. Anyway, it's Friday. We're supposed to be feeling good. Friday. All right, so I have that song somewhere. Anyway, let's not worry about it right now. You're with Bill Bank of Talk is Cheap, Friends and Neighbors Network. Let me tell you one of the things that's going on here. Mike's Shoes is having their trunk show. That's what it's called, Bill, you fool. A trunk show, and that's happening tomorrow. So they're going to have a Keen, K-E-E-N, trunk show. And I don't know what Keen's shoes are, but if you're probably women's shoes. And you may know, or maybe they're brand new brand. I don't know, but the rep will be there, and there'll be a gift with purchase and all that. And so that's going on at Mike's. And then don't forget, they got all the other great shoes at Mike's. They got a skillion kinds of shoes over at Mike's. You know, they have things like in women's shoes, they have Clarkson, Zeta, Echo, Dexter, Rockports, Naturalizers. They got for juniors, Steve Madden. They got Raul Page. They got these things here, or the Keen. They got men's shoes. They got Echo Clark, 1803s, Mephisto, Zetas, all that, Florsheims, you name it. They got it. Plus, they have handbags that are really nice, and they have evening shoes. I think that's what you're supposed to call them, right? Evening bags and shoes. Is that what you call them? Anyway, evening bags and shoes. I'm going to call them that. So they have that. So that's what's going on at Mike's Shoes and the Promenade Shopping Center right next to the road that goes down there. What is Diablo or whatever down the road is? No, that's not what it's called. Wait. They used to have the hanging, the Zobra. Is that what it is? Zobra? I'm not sure. It's a farce, you know, by the post office. Maybe this is Zobra's other place. We used to have whatever happened to that ceremony we used to have? San Luis Obispo had a thing called the burning of Zobra. I think it happened around Halloween, didn't it? I could be totally wrong about when it happened, but I think it was around Halloween. And you burn something in effigy. Whoever's Zobra was a bad spirit or something. I don't know what it was. It's an old Mexican custom. We don't have the what was the name of that other thing we used to have? The Rancho Grande. That wasn't it. Everybody wore a big hat, and I forget what it was called. I am seated, too. I can't remember what it was called. Anyway, we used to have a parade and everything. The parade was called the that old gaucho. Nah, I can't think of it. It's not there. You know, when you need it there, sometimes it's not. There's nothing you can do about it. All right, there's two more stories I want to share that are nationally stories. And that is that everybody probably by now has seen on the news somewhere this poor old grandma that's 86 years old that was bullied by these kids, these four junior high kids on a bus. And she made her cry and everything, you know. She is as of early this morning. This is as of like 8 o'clock this morning, 7 o'clock. I was 7 o'clock. I got up at 6. I got up at 5:30. It was about 7 o'clock this morning. There was they got $440,000. $440,000 people have already donated to this lady to say, go take a nice vacation and don't deal with these kids anymore. Stay off the bus and here's enough money to keep you alive, and which is pretty cool. And so she's, she's pretty happy about that. She didn't want the kids suspended or punished in that way. She wanted them to not be able to ride a bus for a year. I'm trying to think of the other thing. Not be able to ride a bus for a year. I forget the other thing. So anyway, so three of the parents, because everybody's reaction, of course, was it has to be the parents' responsibility for these kids being such meatballs. And so three of the parents and three of the kids have apologized. Boy, if I was those parents, though, I would do some thinking about how I'm doing my life. No question about it. All right, so she's in good shape. Then the another big news story was that Zimmerman, reenact George Zimmerman, who the Trayvon Martin thing, they show a videotape of he reenacted what happened for the cops the day after it happened. And so, he claims that basically that Trayvon Martin, he got him and thumped him and pushed him down and was trying to cover his mouth and his nose with his arm. He started to reach for Zimmerman's gun, so Zimmerman pulled it out and shot him. But here, I'm still going to say this. This is the issue of this is not whether that happened. The issue is the police told the man not to get out of his car. The police told the man, when a cop tells you you're supposed to do something, don't you do it? Don't you think this guy's the neighborhood watch super-duper guy? And the cop tells him this is what you're supposed to do? How do you ignore that? If he had never gotten out of that car and just called the cops and said, I don't know about this kid walking around, and then he says he wasn't racially profiling the kid, but I don't understand. Maybe it's the hoodie thing. Let's go back to that. Who knows? But anyway, when he calls the cops and the cops say, don't follow him and don't get out of your car. We'll be there. then he should have just backed off. That's what he should have done. Thank you. And then we've had the story about the lady that they lost the ring in the seat cushion in the car. They found the husband's passed away as a man's ring. But they found the lady. She was living in California. They thought she was in Texas, but she had moved to the valley or somewhere. The Texas and the valley, they're probably very similar. You know, how would you even know you moved if you moved from there to there? Fewer cacti. Okay. Fewer cacti. Laws caps out of the bill that makes sense to me, and that's to put teeth in organic labels because, you know, the people in the last, how many years now, the Wall Street, the banks, and all that kind of stuff, all of our naivete has gone away, and we realize that people basically are dishonest. You know how they say people are basically good and honest? They're not. I'm sorry, but I don't think they are anymore. There are people that are, and I love them. But there are people that just, you know, I would raise my eyebrow more often than I ever did before in my life at things people do. And so the organic thing is interesting because, you know, people that don't really have organic food put an organic label on it. It's just another lie. It's another bit of deception. It's another way to make a buck. So do we need this rule? I'm afraid we do. I'm afraid we do. Maybe it'll help keep some of the honest people honest. Maybe not. Really kind of crazy. All right. Chowchilla kidnapper freed from the CMC, and that's Richard Schoenfeld, as you know, about, what was it, 35 years ago. They kidnapped these kids in Chowchilla, put them in a moving van, and buried the thing, and then went for the ransom. But anyway, the whole thing unraveled, and they managed to save the kids. So the people are saying, well, they may not have, here's the rationalization for letting the guy out after 35 years. Because the kids had no physical damage to them. You know, may have had emotional damage, but they had no physical damage. So they're saying, well, see, there's people that have done really almost heinous crimes, and they've been let out of prison a lot sooner than 35 years, and yet this guy didn't actually hurt anybody. If I was buried alive by somebody, and they went to prison, and then they had a parole hearing, I'd probably go and say, keep him in here. I mean, at least he has fresh air and sunshine once a day. I was buried. Buried. It's got to feel pretty no good. If I can't go down a submarine, I can't be buried. I can tell you that. Well, I'm alive. Okay, other thing going on. This is so weird. Here, Ronnie King just died, and there's three men arrested after a videotape beating on a freeway in L.A. There's a road rage thing going on, and these people were kicking this guy when he was unconscious or whether they couldn't tell. Anyway, so they thought it was, they thought maybe it was staged, the coppers. They thought maybe it was staged. So they said, well, we're not sure. Anyway, then they found out it was real, that somebody had taped it and put it on the Internet. Well, they say 100,000 people had watched it before they got around to it. 100,000 people had watched it on YouTube before they got around to doing anything. Selena's mom, who tried to sell her baby for $25, asked to go to jail. Now, her boyfriend's already in jail. Her boyfriend was doing 6 years in prison for a child endangerment because they tried to sell the baby outside of a store for $25. She's now saying she went into a rehab program but failed at it miserably. So she said, why don't you just put me in jail because I can't make myself better. You know, and the kid's already been adopted. You know, I put him in foster care, and the baby was adopted, which is good. Anyway, which is craziness. Oh, there was another big thing in the news here. Speaking of wine, they said that if you're in the first part of your pregnancy and you have up to, what did they say, 5 glasses of wine a week, something like that, it's okay. 7, I think they said 7. Maybe 6. It was some number that didn't have the same number of days. Maybe it was 6. We could have that much wine, and it would be okay. But I don't know if that means the first trimester. I never got quite to that point to know what that means because I've never been pregnant. So when they start throwing these funny terms out there, I'm like, okay. But I can understand why you'd want some wine. Your life's going to change quite a bit for the next 18 years and 9 months. Okay. Everything's gone. Well, this is interesting. Dan Walters has a column today that's quite fascinating. He said, you know, if you're in California and there's a single part of your product that's not made in the United States, you can't say it's made in the USA. If you're in California, you can't say made in the USA. If 99.99999% of that product, you know, except a fleck is made in the United States, but that one little fleck, I don't know what it's a fleck of, I just use that term, a fleck is made in some other country, you can't do it. Which is interesting because they say American car manufacturers, which is not true anymore. There is no such thing as American car manufacturer anymore. That's not true, Bill. In the business news, they have the Tesla. Tesla's going to put out, and that's made in America. But I don't know if it's all made in America, to tell you the truth. Some of it could be assembled. You know, a lot of these electronic assemblies and stuff are made, and wiring harnesses are made in Mexico and elsewhere. So, anyway, they're saying that because, you know, it's so hard to sell things in California, and one guy said the poster child for the contention 700-worker Mag Instrument Company of Ontario, which makes heavy-duty maglite flashlights, they say even a single minuscule foreign part in a otherwise 100% domestic good makes an actual case under California law. The guy said there's just no way to do business in California. How sad. That's that, because we have all the environmental stuff that's 10 times harder than any place else, you know, and then you have our planning department, you know, and then you got the yeah. Other things happen. This was interesting. I don't know this place, but the guy has an interesting point. David from Templeton wrote this thing and said, while waiting for a bus at the Templeton Park and Ride, I've seen several vehicles nearly crash out onto buses. Apparently, the vehicles don't realize until it's too late they're going the wrong way on a one-way road. I noticed the Do Not Enter sign is only facing the westbound traffic. The eastbound traffic has no idea the bus lane is a one-way road. You say, I'll put up another sign, would you? Maybe they don't like the eastbound people. I don't know. Eastern side of Templeton, maybe they don't like those people. We have this street down here. What's the end of the new street? Hoover? Hoover. We have the new street Hoover that runs behind. It's not new anymore. It runs behind the runway, you know, the extended runway. They don't have a speed limit sign. Now, if you're in a rural area and Buckley Road is 55, and you turn down, and there's a lot less. There's one access point on the whole flipping road. So you would think that, and Buckley has a number of access points, businesses and roads and all that kind of stuff. So you would think that if it's 55 there, that it would be 55. As a matter of fact, I've gone 55 when the cop's been sitting there with his radar, and he didn't pull me over. So I assume that's okay. So I assume 55 was fine on a rural road. And so I was going 55, you know. But see, without a speed limit sign, people just pick and choose whatever speed limit they want. You'll get people to be you think I'm kidding you. I'm not kidding you. There are people who will go as slow as 25 miles an hour. I don't know if they think that because the airplanes cross over their head that they're supposed to slow down or what it is. I don't know. I've been buying people going 35, 45, 55. Everybody just picks a speed because there's no sign. And nobody takes the DMV test anymore, you know. They get renewed by mail, so. It's a problem right there. All right, we talked about what's going on in Atascadero. It's an ongoing thing for the last 10, 15, 20 years. As the Walmart annex thing. And so here, Atascadero Planning Commissioner Len Colomarino. I hope I'm saying that right, Colomarino. Business lawyer and practiced in New York for almost 30 years. He retired to Atascadero in January 2005. He says the annex idea is really bad. He said it's not worth the risks because what they're doing is what's the expression in gambling? They're betting on the come. Anyway, so they're betting that something's going to, and they are. Atascadero is betting that, you know, the annex thing's going to work out. They'll get tenants and all that, and then it'll pay back the road thing. I don't know. There's a risk. There's no question about it. There's a risk. The political cartoon today was kind of funny. It cracked me up, or one of the cartoons. And the guy said, you know, this gambling is just absolutely crazy. It's a vice and it's a terrible thing to do, to go into a casino and gamble. And so the other guy says, well, what about when you play the stock market and you invest in high-risk stocks? What's the difference? And he said, a little pause, and he goes, let me think about that for a while. And the other guy says, take your time. That's the same thing. So, yes, there's a risk. Let's say we go back to Vegas. What's the name of the guy that did the odds that got booted for saying something stupid? Anyway, go back to Jimmy the Greek. Go back to Jimmy the Greek, you know, and say, okay, we need you to make some odds on this. What's the odds that the annex will have tenants and pay back the money to the task of their citizens for the interchange? I would think, this is my thinking, but that's not guaranteed, you know. These are tough times. I would think they'd say, probably, because the thing you have to realize that makes the annex different than if you had just the annex by itself is you have Walmart there. And people tend to want to say, okay, I'm going to park my fanny outside of a Walmart because people will come to my store after they go to Walmart, depending on what your store is. If it's another store that sells Chinese products, probably not. If you want to open a Chinese product store, I don't think that would be a good idea there. That's my assessment of that. Okay. Anything else, Bill? Yes. Yes. All right. So here we have. There's two different stories here. That recovery. I saw one thing that said that everybody thinks things are going to get better, and then here's the forecast calls for persistent gloom, according to the Business Section Tribune. Everybody's saying things are going to be scrappy. All right, then I talked about Tesla, and Tesla's this really, really expensive electric car. It doesn't have a little engine to kick in. So here's how you can buy it now. So they're coming out with a Model S that's going to cost $49.9 after your rebate from the government. $49.9. But that's where it starts, because that's with one battery. Let me get this right now. The one battery can take you 160 miles. If you want to spend more and get two batteries, that'll take you 230 miles. If you want to go the whole shebanga and get the whole enchilada, you can go 300 miles with three batteries. Now, that's a long way, you have to admit, before you have to recharge. And plus, you can recharge in any kind of a socket that you can find, or just climb a telephone pole and get the electric wire. And anyway, so you can do it, but it's a lot of money. But the other Tesla, the one that people have been buying, is $109,000. That's where it starts. That's where it starts. And you know, George Clooney has one. Some of these rich people, so that they have that. But they're banking on the fact. And this is you know who this is, don't you? This is what's his name? SpaceX, Elon Musk. Speaking of SpaceX, I got a story about that. So Elon Musk is the guy that started this thing up. He says by 2013 we'll be making a buck. Now, I have seen the Tesla super duper $109,000 job. Last time we took the kidlets up to Monterey and went to the aquarium, there was one on Cannery Row, and it turned heads. It was parked. Everybody had to stop and look. I did too. But it's electric, for God's sake. I guess it goes like a bat out of hell, that $109,000 should do something. All right, races on to get SpaceX launch pad, speaking of our guy, Elon Musk. And so the Florida, Texas, and Puerto Rico are offering incentives to land the company's business. You don't notice there's California's not listed there. Did you notice it's not listed there, California? So anyway, Florida, Texas, they want to do it, and they're offering them, you know, they're talking about really millions of dollars in incentives to say, here, come and build your place here. Now, you say in Puerto Rico, what's with that? I said the same thing when I saw that headline, Puerto Rico, what's with that? Then you read the article and you find out that, say, Puerto Rico is desirable because with the Earth's rotation is greatest at the equator, and therefore it takes less juice, you know, less rocket go-go to get into orbit. Interesting point. So Puerto Rico says that's why we're a good place to be launched from. Good argument. I've been to Puerto Rico once, and we didn't get to see much of it, but we got off a cruise ship. We had an hour or something, 2 hours, then we had to go to the airport. But the place we went to, I don't know the name of it, is a hotel with this old-fashioned mahogany, beautiful mahogany foyer and lobby, and whew, it was gorgeous. That's it. That's all I'm telling you about Puerto Rico. That's all I know. All right. Other things besides the doom and gloom we got here? We got the June gloom and gloom there, I'll tell you that. Okay. Let's see, we have, I marked something else here. Oh, here was the thing. See, now a lot of, you know, people that are computer savvy, which is, you know, everybody but me, I guess, they understand all these little companies that have started up and the things that people are doing, and I have to admit, I'm left in the dust. I don't know, have the faintest idea. Because here, Hallmark bought a company called Shutterfly. On a variety of co-branded products, financial terms are not disclosed. As part of the deal, it'll disclose Thursday, more than 1,000 Hallmark cards will be available on Shutterfly's new greeting card website, which I guess what that is, treat.com. No, that's just part of what Shutterfly is. Shutterfly lets people store, print, and share photos on the internet, which is what I thought it did. Okay, but there's the thing. So Shutterfly and Hallmark are teaming up so you can find a card easier to download and give to your parents on an 8x10 sheet of paper saying happy anniversary. That's romantic right there, isn't it? That's what I thought. Anyhow, that's where we're at today, and it makes it a wonderful world, huh?
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself.
But not that often.
What a wonderful world.
Okay. It's not going to be a very warm weekend, to tell you the truth. It's going to be lower 70s, or upper 60s, rather, in San Luis Obispo, five cities. It's going to be colder at the coast, a little bit warmer in North County, but no, in the 70s or so. But it's still going to be the weekend, and that's what's so cool about it. There's 100 events going on, including with the Happiness in the Plaza tonight in San Luis Obispo. Until Monday, we'll get together at 4 on Monday. Until then, may all your trails be happy ones, and don't believe everything you hear here, because...
This is Talk is Cheap. The game is over. The Friends and Neighbors Network. With Bill Benica.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then.
Happy trails to you.
I'd have to conclude after playing today's music from David Sanborn that he's hitting the sauce.